Please turn your Bible to Psalm 70. We will start from verse 1. Psalm 70. We will start from verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. When I give you the title, I use quickly, but I forgot that's the NIV, and you use English Standard, so there's no quickly in here. I'm sorry, I hope no conflict of interest. Make haste, O God, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. We believe, all the Christians here, all the Christians every age and every place believe, particularly in this confessional or Reformed Presbyterian Church, we believe, we confess that the Lord is Almighty. In other words, we believe that everything we feel good or bad, everything including a hair that drops down, and the ladies, your black hair turn into white, is predetermined, foreordained, predestined by God. And of course, we also remember His will is good. These are the two elementary, fundamental belief of confession of faith we Christians, especially Reformed Christians, held, that God is Almighty and He's good in everything He done. The Muslim God, Allah, is also Almighty, but not necessarily good. He can do whatever He likes. He can change the moral law. Our God is not like that. In the world He's control, in the world He's created, in the world He has the providence on every minute detail. We believe He's good, He's kind, and He is worthy of worship and praise and preach. However, when we believe everything is in the will of God, we do not, as many of people accuse us, we do not become lazy. Oh, He is doing everything, so what should I do? That's a lazy statement. It's not a statement of any Christian. Because God has favor or grace on us, because everything depends on God's grace and the Almighty power, it doesn't mean that we become lazy. Grace, or gift from God, or the works of the Holy Spirit, or the faith in God, do not equate that we are lazy. But in the Christian church, everywhere, there's such a tendency. Well, believe God. Sola Scriptura, faith only, Bible only, grace only, doesn't mean lazy only. On the contrary, it means when we believe in God, when we believe He is doing everything, we become actively, enthusiastically work hard, and we will give praise to God. We did this because He is doing this through me. We did this. We are kind, we preach, we pray, all because God has grace on me. In other words, we are not lazy. Secondly, in an omnipotent God-controlled world, we not only not become lazy and passive and doing nothing, but actively doing everything, actively by His grace, and in faith, by His Spirit, we do everything. And in this world, when He is in control of everything, He is arranging everything, they are evil things. Of course, the theologian will tell you that's a mystery. How come an almighty and kind God will allow Satan and sin to enter the world? It's a secret we cannot understand or we cannot explain. Well, at least that's not something I'm going to talk about here, because we are not in a theological classroom. We are a Sunday worship There's no conflict between what we teach and what we preach, but we don't have time to discuss that. But please always remember, God is good. Only He is good. God is powerful. Only He is almighty. Only Him. There's no other gods. There's nothing else we can plead, we can seek. Only Him. But under His control, under His almighty sovereign grace, there are evil things. Not only there are evil things, there are evil people. We continually be a sinner, and the other sinners will disturb us from Genesis to Revelation. Ever since the Garden of Eden, you see how the evil force and the power is working in the church, in the world, in the saints, in the sinner. In Abel and Cain's a brotherly conflict, we see this. In Abraham's life, we see this. In the history of Israel, we see this. In the history of church, we see this. In the history, in our individual life, we experience that. And David, particularly, he's a holy man. He loves God. He believes God. But he's a sinner. He committed a heinous crime. And he was hurt by even more evil men. Now, all this happened under this omnipotent God. When these things happen to us, and it is bound to happen, it happened to us before, now, and later, please don't be lazy. Please don't say, well, may His will be done, and I'm going to sleep. No. May His will be done. Yes, maybe we can have peace and sleep, but we can also know what to do. One thing we got to do is cry upon the Lord. I have cried upon the Lord. He hears my prayer. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. O Lord, make haste to help me. Not only we pray to God, we pray Him earnestly and urgently. Now, I don't know about your prayer life. I know my prayer life is not too good. Many times I pray and I pray into sleep. It's not surprising. I preach, somebody sleep. So I pray, somebody sleep too. It's quite natural. I hope God will not sleep. But God will not. Certainly, He will not. The one who watches over Israel slumbers not. He will not sleep. He always wake. But please, not because He knows everything, He cares everything, He controls everything, He's doing everything, we become lazy. We plead Him, we do our share, but we plead Him quickly, make haste. The things happen to us, to our daily life, the typhoon, the explosion, the, what do you call that, dirty oil? I don't know what that oil is called. I'm ashamed. I don't know. God doesn't create that, so I don't know how we manipulate that oil, butter, into this poisonous food. We all seek God, and by His grace, we try to do better in society and in church, but all based on His grace. Make haste to help us, to help me. Verse 2, let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Let them be turned back and brought to dishonor who delight in my hurt. Let them turn back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Oh, okay. This kind of words is not welcomed by many modern, contemporary, or postmodern Christians. They think this kind of words are contrary to Christ's teaching, that is, love your enemies. No, it is not. Again, it's not the time to discuss the relationship between love and justice. Suffice to say that love and justice in human world, in society, may be contradictory to each other. But in God, love and justice is the same thing. In God, God is a pure one. He is not a composition. Let Christians be full of love when we do things full of love and also full of justice. Here, the one who is innocent and suffer cries to God for his help and curse. Yes, curse. There are many curse psalms in the psalm. I don't know anybody has picked up. May my enemy be cursed and killed and the family be wiped out. You are unfamiliar with this? Boy, it's very common. I wish I can come to speak here again to tell you those terrifying words. Well, it's not terrifying. It's the word of God. It simply means one thing, that God hates sin. And God wish we also hate sin. We hate sin. We wish those who put us to shame when we are doing the honorable things into confusion. We pray just like David prayed. Those who unjustly dishonor me, may they be hurt. Not that we don't have love, but that we see with love, we want to see justice be done. But that is not important. Other people is not important. The most important thing is you. What should we do during midst of confusion and shame and difficulty? Plead to God. And he used another word to say, plead to God. He said, may all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Seek God. Seek his kingdom first. All this will be added unto you. Seek God. Is this word unfamiliar with you? Seek God. Seeking God. Searching God. Something is not there and you seek. Now this kind of experience is not happy. You lost your credit card. You are looking for your credit card. You seek your credit card. You don't have a girlfriend. You are seeking a girlfriend. Now, when you are seeking something precious and valuable and you don't have it, you seek. The experience is not very happy. It's actually very worrisome, isn't it? You lost your credit card. You are seeking it. You are worried. You are anxious. Oh, where's my card? Oh, sometimes my baby is lost. My children are lost. They are lost sheep, lost coin, lost son. They are things that are lost. And when we seek, we don't feel that it's a very interesting or happy experience. But my dear brothers and sisters, seek the Lord. It's an exciting and interesting and a peaceful experience. Because this is quite unusual. But again, the Reformed Christian should be familiar with it. If we seek God, that means we already have God. Without knowing God, without obtaining God, without having the grace of God in your heart, you will not seek Him. So this from many, many theologians and the great shepherds, including Bernard. He said, what a joyful experience for Christians when they are seeking God. Because when they are seeking, they are already touched by the grace of God. We come to the church. We come to read the Bible. We listen to the sermon. We hear the Christian message. If during, in the midst of all those things, including we seek God for His favor to deliver us from evil, from hard times, from the persecution of the soul, when we, in the midst of everything, we seek His help. If you will seek Him, that means His grace is already in you. Without His grace, we will not even turn one inch to Him. So let all those who seek God rejoice and be glad in you. And Saint Bernard keeps saying, I wish someday we will sing that hymn, that when we are seeking, we are joyful, and when we found Him, we are doubly, triply, 100 times joyful. And when we get Him, well, you know we are joyful. You know how happy when that lost sheep is found. You know how happy the owner when his coin is found. You know how happy when our lost brothers and sisters and children and fathers and mothers are found and returned. Let's seek God. Whenever, wherever, whatever we are. Why? Because only in Him there's the answer. Matthew 7:7. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. May those who love your salvation say, evermore, God is great. We thank God. He loves us. And when we seek Him, He will be fine. We will find Him, and we will find His grace. But it may take times. It may take many, many years. When Joseph was not put to shame, was elevated to a prime minister, it was long. And when will God declare our innocent? Maybe many, many years. When will God solve our problems? Maybe many, many years later. But let's wait it upon the Lord. Those who waited upon the Lord shall not be put to shame. Isaiah 40:30. Even youths shall faint and weary, and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Wait for the Lord. While you are waiting, you are not lazy. You pray, you seek Him, you actively do things that should be done, should do. But we always seek God. We look to God. You are my help and my deliverer, O Lord. I do not delay. I am poor and needy. Always. I pray every one of us here, we are not poor and needy. I pray every one of us here are rich and abundant. I pray every one of us here are rich in everything, including money, including knowledge, including health, including beauty and handsome. Well, God is willing to provide all those. But when we have all these things, some of us have this. When we have spiritual power, we can speak, we can preach, we can cast the demon out, we can do many things. When we become a VIP in the society, blessed be the name of the Lord. May He enrich us continually, abundantly. But please, always regard ourselves as poor and needy. Because we don't have any goodness in us. We don't have any righteousness in God. All the great things, all the great things is given by God to us freely because of Jesus. So let's be grateful and always see that ourselves needs His help, needs His elevation. Now the second part of the sermon today is related to the first part. We pray earnestly, we pray when we have all the powers in our hand, and we pray when we have no powerless. When we are young, and energetic and powerful and wise and bright and brilliant. Or when we are downcast, when we are old. When we are doing the right things, we pray to God, we seek God. When we are doing the wrong things, we pray God, we seek God. When people are doing the right things to us, we pray God, we praise God, we thank God, but we also seek God. Do not be overjoyed because people are saying you are good. Actually, Jesus said contrary. When everybody says you are good, you are damned. I'm sorry I use this word. That's what Jesus said. Because that's how the world treats the false prophet. Well, we need praise from God. We need to be justified by faith alone. So, always seek God. Always seek God earnestly and be sincere. Be touched by the Holy Spirit that our prayer is earnestly. God, make haste. I'm hurt. Well, but sometimes God uses very slow tactic to fulfill our prayer. Well, second part, I'm going to illustrate what we have just discussed, is Esther. So if you have the Bible, you can follow me. If you don't, just listen to me, Esther. Esther is the book that describes when Jews were under the Persian control. And the Israelite or Jews' life under Persian kingdom is not too bad compared to Babylon, compared to other supreme superpower. Persian is quite nice to Jews. Well, many times Christians living in this world, some government, some neighbors, some friends are friendly to us. Some are not very friendly. As a matter of fact, some are antagonistic toward us. I just come back from Malaysia. I'm going to United States. I'm in 3 countries within 1 week. Now in Malaysia, they say, whoa, the days of Christians are limited. The freedom to worship there is limited. There are more and more Muslim control, interference of the church. There are certain places, even there are radicals. Oh, it's not so free to preach and worship God in Malaysia, and certainly not in many other countries. And the numbers of those unfriendly, hostile nations to Christianity seems increasing. So, I'm going to United States of America next week. It certainly is very friendly to Christianity, isn't it? Is it? Is it quite free to say Merry Christmas in America? I was told not so easy. You got to say Happy Holiday, Merry Christmas. You are offending the Muslim. I think it's sad that in Europe and America, be a Christian many times is even more difficult than in communist China. Well, try the biology course and tell your professor you don't believe in evolution. See what will happen. See if you are biological professors, if you can say anything about questioning Darwin's wisdom. Now, I'm not going to discuss intelligent design and those things. I just say, we got to prepare that in this world, every places, every time, including Puritans, you may encounter hostilities. John Bunyan, if you read his story, he lived in Christian England and he was put to jail because he preached. Like a Cummins China. Let's be prepared for this hostile world. Not that we want to be angry with them, but we want, even they are hostile to us, we witness the love of God to them. But we also pray that God will deliver us. Now, in Esther chapter 3, verse 6, Haman, well, a Gentile, someone in Persian kingdom who is hostile to Jews. Haman sought to destroy all the Jews. Verse 7, in the first month, they cast lots before Haman, and they cast the 12th month. Then Haman said to King Hazaerus, there is a certain people scattered abroad and dispersed among the people in all the province of your kingdom. They do not keep the king's laws, so that it is not to the king's profit to tolerate them. If it please the king, let it be decreed that they be destroyed. I did not read every word. And the king said to Haman, do with Jews as it seems good to you. Now you may know that the book of Esther is the only book in the Bible that doesn't mention the name God. Not only that, it doesn't mention any religious term, including praying, praising, worship. We can understand they are under a time of hardship. So all those religious words is not permitted. Well, maybe like in the world, maybe like live in the communist world, Muslim world, maybe like live in the ISIS, maybe like live in the United States of America, maybe like live in the Christian England, while John Bunyan was put to jail because he preached the word of God. This world is hostile toward God in every aspect of life. But also remember, this world is the world loved and ruled by God. Christians witness God to them. And Christians sometimes receive good receptions, sometimes bad. Good, we praise God. Bad, we plead to God. We seek the Lord, make haste. Now, this king, Ahasuerus, he heard his prime minister tell him, O king, you are ruling a big, huge empire. There are many nations and races in your kingdom. There's one race that is useless. They should be wiped away, totally annihilated. This is the first, actually, this is the first Holocaust, to kill them all. If you kill them all, I will denote, I will contribute a certain amount, a huge amount of money to your treasure. Now, if you are the king, what would your response be? If you are normal king, if you have a normal IQ, you heard your prime minister said, wipe out one of the races in your kingdom. What were your normal, basic response? It should be, which race? What kind of color are they? Are they black or brown or yellow or white? You want me to wipe out certain people because of their color? Well, it makes sense. I hate certain color. You should wipe out certain people in your country because they always stealing. Oh, like gypsy. Oh, I'm sorry, but just give you an illustration. A lot of Chinese is racist. I'm sorry. You should wipe out certain people because they have no benefit to you. Now, he should, as a king, he should at least ask which race. He didn't ask. He should at least ask what kind of crime, what kind of evil culture they have that I must wipe them out. He did not ask. He simply tell Haman, okay, kill them all. He did not ask how many of them. He's more vicious than Hitler. He did not even ask. Now, mind you, this is also the king that a beautiful and smart Jew married. And mind you, this king also saved the life of Jews. God's way is hard for us to understand. But you must remember two things. Understand or not, He's almighty. And He's kind. He's good. So always plead to Him. Seek Him. Ask His favor. Don't be lazy. Don't be sit there and doing nothing. Believe Him. Haman wants to destroy all the Jews. And the king agreed. Do with Jews as it seems good to you. Verse 13. Letters were sent by couriers to all the king's province, which with instruction to destroy, to kill, and to annihilate all Jews, young and old, women and children, in one day, the 13th day of 12th month, and to plunder their goods. Verse 15, the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa was thrown into confusion. The Jews are waiting to be killed. Now it's interesting. They cast a lot. Chou Qian. We Christians don't believe that, but we Christians do not deny that God used that to do things too. Now I discourage you. I almost forbidden you to do anything like a Chou Qian or drawing lots. Because we have mind to think. But we believe God also used this to do His secret providence. On January the 13th, Haman wants to kill all the Jews. And when he cast the lot, the God he believes is in control tell him, do this on December. In other words, it's both good and bad. It's bad for Jews. You have 11 months to worry. You have 11 months to live in anxiety. Now this is bad. It's like I tell you, your doctor tell you, you have 11 months to live and there's no way it can be changed. And there's no way you can go because this is a huge empire. You have no place to go. Every place you go is under the power, sovereign power of the king. You are worrisome for 11 months. But there's a good side. You have 11 months to pray to God. Well, but when this decree was announced, I think all the Jews will repeat the prayer of Psalm 71 and 2. Make haste, O God, to deliver me, O Lord. Make haste to help me. Let them be put to shame and confusion who seek my life. Oh, you pray. You are sad. Yes, that's normal. But be active and diligent, as every Christian, when they trust God, should. Chapter 4, verse 1. When Mordecai learned all that had done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on sackcloth and ashes, and went out into the midst of the city, and he cried out with loud and a bitter cry, perhaps Psalm 71 and 2. Verse 3, and in every province there was great mourning among the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them lay sackcloth and ashes. They must pray. They must all pray. But they must also do something. What can they do? Sometimes we can do nothing except pray. Sometimes we may be able to do something with our prayer and trust. Verse 8, Mordecai commanded her to go to the king to beg his favor and plead with him on behalf of her people. Now this is a long story, and the story I'm not going to repeat here. You go back, read the Bible. You go back, read the story of Esther. If you don't want to read the Bible, you search YouTube. They may have the movie about Esther. It's not all very faithful to Bible, but basically it's a biblical story. How Esther went to the palace, became the queen, that's another story I'm going to tell you now. Anyway, he was the queen. Now, Mordecai think the queen, that is his cousin, may be the only person can save the Jews because she is a queen and she is a Jew. So Mordecai let Queen Esther know this. That's the her of verse 8. Go to the king and beg his favor, or all the Jews are going to die. Verse 10. Then Esther spoke to Hadassah, and that's a eunuch, and commanded him to go to Mordecai and said, all the king's servants and the people of king's province know that if any man or woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter so that he may live. Okay. I think this is a protective, preventive strategy to prevent people who want to assassinate the king. So nobody can enter the office of Dennis Brown if he did not call you. If he did not call you, you go in, then bang! Unless you come in, he give you a Bible. Read it, or I will shoot you. Now this is terrible. Do we have any wives here that you enter the bedroom? You cannot enter the bedroom when your husband is there without being called by him. Honey, you can come in. And you come in. And if without his calling you come in, he will shoot you to death. Any wives like that live in such home? I guess no wives lives in such home. Maybe every husband lives in such home. Don't come in without my permission. Now this is terrible. They are husband and wife. But my dear brothers, this is the word. People live unreasonably. People live cruelly. You see many, many countries. Actually, you see every country. You see women being raped. You see, the day before yesterday, I saw in India, a monkey died and hundreds of worshippers put sackcloth on them. cry for the dying monkey because they think that monkey is some kind of god. Indian, they are very smart. I don't know if there are Indian people here. Forgive me, I'm not racist. But every race, every nation, every country, when they are away from God, they become strange and cruelty. Sooner or later. And every individual, every collective people or culture, the more they are close into God, affected by God, they become better. I wish we all become better. Well, but we live in a strange and cruel world, unfriendly, hostile toward each other. Queen Esther replied her cousin, "No, I cannot go. I have not been called for 30 days. Do you know what does this mean? It means king has a favor with other concubines now. You must remember, in Persian palace, there are thousands of women waiting for the king's favor every night. So when 30 nights the queen is not with the king must be with many other women. And you dare to went in, and he is fooling around with another woman, he certainly will be angry toward you and kill you." Well, Mordecai says you must. So, verse 16. "Go, gather all the Jews to be found in Susa, and hold a fast for 3 days on my behalf. I and my young women will also fast as you do. Then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish." Well, sometimes life, including religious life, including the life to worship God, is hard and difficult. That's what Jesus said. We Christians, after we believe, we are sent into the world as sheep sent into the wolves. So don't think you go to United States of America or England or 19th century or 20th century or 12th century or any place outside the Garden of Eden when God sent us there to witness his truth. We are like sheep sent into the among the wolves. So be cunning as a serpent and gentle as a dove. Well, we pray, we seek the mercy of God. Well, it's very tense, but happily, when Esther went in, the king forgave her. Not only forgive her, king is very happy. King says, "Oh, Queen Esther, I love you." And he's just like this kind of boyish. "I love you. You want anything? I can give you half of the kingdom." "Well, okay. Come to my banquet with Haman. That's the only request I have. The true request I will tell you during the banquet." Verse 6. I think this is chapter 5, verse 6. "And as they were drinking," that's Haman, king, and the queen, drinking wine after the feast, "the king said to Esther, 'What is your wish? It shall be granted to you. And what is your request? Even to the half of my kingdom it shall be fulfilled.'" Now, ladies, wives, this is our dream moment, isn't it? Our husband is drunk, half drunk, maybe not in Presbyterian church, by the way, drunk. Drunk with Holy Spirit, and we're very joyful. And we tell our wife, "Oh, honey, whatever you want, I will grant it. Whatever you want. Half of my kingdom is yours." Well, Esther should say, yes, I have something I want. Please forgive my fellow countrymen. Please have their life being spared. That's what she should say. But she cannot say that. Now it's too late to teach you how to be cunning as a snake. Well, it's too late because you are already snakes. Well, it's too late to teach you now, but I can highlight it a little bit. Esther, when the king is in a very good mood, should say, okay, I have some requests. This is, please forgive the Jews. Let them leave. But she is very cautious. And she is very cunning. And I think she's also very timid. Now remember, the king is very difficult to predict. And Haman, the enemy of the Jew, is still in favor of the king. King just loved him. So if Esther said, save the Jews, forgive the Jews, Esther is not sure if he can win the favor of the king, because king also favors Haman. So he is not sure. She is not sure. And when woman is not sure if her husband's inclination, usually woman will do one thing. I don't know how to say that in English. I know how to say it in Chinese. So somebody translate for your English friends. 吊胃口. You don't directly tell your man that I have some requests. You delay it. You delay it and make your man more curious and more desire to having that wish being fulfilled. So when the king says, what is your wish? What is your request? Now, verse 7. Then Esther answered, my wish and my request is, and he didn't say it, verse 8. If I have found favor in the sight of the king, and if it please the king to grant my wish and fulfill my request, let King and Haman come to the feast, and I will prepare for them. And tomorrow I will do as the king said. Well, she said a lot. You really want to grant my wish? You really do? Really? You love me? I have found favor in your eyesight? Okay, I tell you, tomorrow come and eat. I will tell you then. 吊胃口. To drag, to delay, and to arouse the interest of the king and make king have more favor toward Esther. One day or one night's delay. This is a tactic that may increase king's favor toward Esther. But everything depends on God. Esther don't know. She did all she can do. Esther don't know. That night, something happened and changed everything. Again, I'm not going to tell you the details. Please read the Bible. Delay tactic. 吊胃口. But I'm going to read what happened. Verse 6. On that night, the king could not sleep. Bible says, those who are favored by the Lord will sleep peacefully. 神所爱的必叫他们安然入睡. Our sleep night, our sleepless night, all controlled, decided by God. And God has his best way. On that night, the king could not sleep, and he gave order to bring the book of memorable deeds, the Chronicles, and they were read before king. And it was found written how Mordecai had saved the king's life I just again abridged it. And the king said, "What honor or distinction has been bestowed on Mordecai for this?" The king's young man who attended him said, "Nothing has been done for him." Now, this maybe happened recently, maybe happened a couple of years ago. The Bible did not say, but Mordecai has saved king's life. And what is strange is, when Mordecai saved king's life, such a great things he has done to king, he received no reward at all. We don't know why. Now many times we do things for the Lord, and bad things happen to us. We don't know why. But we know what to do. Seek the Lord. He's just. He's loving. He's kind to us. He delayed the reward for Mordecai for maybe years, maybe days, maybe months. But that's just time to not have Mordecai have favor, but all Jews being saved. May all who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. I will close with the verse I have just read. Isaiah 40:30. Even youths shall faint and be weary, and young men shall fall exhausted. But they who wait for the Lord shall renew their strength. Let's wait the Lord. Let's seek the Lord. Let's plead to the Lord. Let's cry to the Lord. Let's cry impatiently. Make haste, O Lord. But let's wait patiently. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love and kindness and your wisdom. We pray we will walk in your favor. We will walk in the faith that we have confessed. When we are weary and tired, when we are confused and humiliated, when we are honored and promoted, whenever, wherever, whatever, may we trust you, or may we praise you. May we seek you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.